The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
We're trying to figure out what each person's free throws are.
Mine's Giannis just spin the ball. Mine's just spin the ball.
No.
It comes back to me.
No, we so already comes determined. Back to me. No, we stop.
Chewy.
Two dribbles.
Chewy, we're not talking literally. We're talking figuratively.
How you shoot free throws, you Momo. We're talking about what is your free throws. Giannis struggles mightily with free throws. You struggle mightily with names and apparently following the bouncing ball.
Chewy's giving his free throw routine.
Hell, figuratively, when has that been a part of our show?
Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at Radio City with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Yeah, the Bucks won. Grabbed a game in that series. It's now 2-1. Play again this weekend. All good things. Didn't feel great about the way they won. And look, we've talked about this throughout this entire series. If they had lost to the Nets in Brooklyn and they had been competitive, you'd been like, yeah, it stinks that they lost, but they played really well. In this case, it wasn't so much how they lost those first two games. I'm sorry, it wasn't that they lost those first two games. It was how they lost those first two games. And I feel similarly about last night's game. Yes, they won, but man, this is feeling a lot like the Milwaukee Yucks and not the Milwaukee Bucks. But we put it on the poll to ask you how you feel about it. After game three, how do you feel? Because Giannis said, a win's a win. Or do you still feel yucky about it, Gabe?
I feel yucky about it. Just didn't feel good with the way that they played offensively. 86 points. By the way, 86 points is the exact number they scored in game two. Got their doors blown out.
The reason I said 20 points would have brought them back into the series, even though they'd still be down 2-1, you'd be like, okay, this is going to be a little bit of a ping pong match. But the way it ended up, all it did is lead me to believe is that the Nets are the better team. And that's where we're at. And that's why I think it only goes 5.
So we didn't believe you when you said they were going to blow him out. Should we believe him when he says it's only going to go 5?
I mean, Chewy is our NBA expert.
He really is not.
So, I mean, when Chewy talks about the NBA, you should probably listen. He clearly knows what he's talking about.
You said they were going to go 6. That's not happening.
Correct.
That's
Bucks and 6. Again, Chewy, we've had this conversation about math before on and off the air. I don't know if you know this, but the Bucks can still win this series in 6.
Are you a betting man?
I am. I tried to bet with you the other day, and you wouldn't take it.
No one will bet with you because you never pay off your bets.
Yeah, you know who's not a betting man, Chew? You.
Well, he makes the bet. This is like the Seinfeld thing. You take the reservation. You can't keep the reservation. You don't hold the reservation.
Do we know Harden's status for game 4?
Nope, not yet. It's just kind of day-to-day. Uncertain, no timeline.
If I had to guess, and I have no information, obviously, about this, I would guess he's still out. I would guess that hamstring is just so pesky and it's just lingering. I would guess that.
All right, well, let me ask you this.
And if they put him out there, it would feel desperate, to be honest with you. If they put him out there prematurely, it would feel desperate, which I think would be a tally, a hash, if you will, in the Bucks tally.
Still doing it.
You just cannot deal with the tallies and the marks. It's a column. Put it in the column.
The tally and the hash are the same thing.
The tally and the hash are the same. The column is the column. I don't know.
I'll tell you this. The confidence that our teammates have on this show to just wander out into traffic blindly. Like, I love it. I love that we're not looking across the street. We're just going to start this sentence and hope it ends up in a good spot.
Assume that the bus will stop. Dear Giannis, if a single guy has an instinct to use the same pickup line 7 times in a row and it fails every time, it's time to change the instinct. That in reference to Giannis saying that the instinct, and we have the sound, Ashton, that the reason he was shooting so many threes last night was his instinct. Go ahead.
It's all about instinct. Basketball is all about instincts. And at the end of the day, if my instinct is telling me that's the right decision to take, you know, I live with that. It's the same like everybody. If you wake up in the morning and you think that you got to drink a cup of coffee and that's what you want to do, That's what your instinct is telling you. That's what your soul is telling you. Whatever the case might be, that's what you do.
Yeah, but the thing
I would argue, for a pickup line, if a pickup line works 1 out of 7, I still think that's a decent percentage.
What?
If it actually...
You just had to find the right target? You had to find the right gal?
You hit the right one, like...
This is a terrible conversation, but if it works once, it worked, right? And you're a winner.
But it did work once for Giannis last night, one time. The one time.
Terrible conversation.
One time.
But all it takes is one time.
What is that movie
Little
from?
Giants.
Little Giants.
Of course I know that.
One time. Can your instincts be wrong, Chew? Can you like be like, oh, I have a gut feeling. Can your instincts be wrong?
Yes.
Says the guy whose gut told him the Bucks were going to win by 20.
That Lozinger versus Lozinger.
When he is standing there at the three-point line with no one really guarding him, the crowd's not screaming for him to shoot. I believe they're screaming inside just the opposite, which is, don't shoot. Right? So if instincts are going to go one way and tell you to shoot, they certainly have to go back the other way and tell you not to shoot. And I think when you start off 0 for 6, you shouldn't shoot a three-pointer again for the rest of the game.
Yeah, I agree.
Right?
But not everybody does. Dan from Salem saying, unlike most, I feel good about the win. I thought it was badass. Obviously, the plan was to get physical with Durant, and it went exactly as planned. Would have crushed if Giannis could make free throws and not take 9 threes. Listen, I've had bad instincts. I dated a guy once who would call me at 4 a.m. and say he was cleaning his house. Never picked up on that might be a... drug habit.
Oh.
Never picked up on that.
He was hanging out with Count Cocaine.
Just thought he was very, very clean.
How many times did he call you at 4 a.m. before you were like, this is weird?
Several times.
Was he ugly, Jen?
No, he's a good-looking guy. But he just had a little bit of a nose candy problem.
Allegedly, we shouldn't be smearing this poor guy. I mean, Jesus.
Poor guy, please.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, I doubt he's poor. He's buying cocaine.
You can't do this to people.
The point is, my instincts weren't good, okay? My instincts should have told me that nobody cleans their house at 4 a.m.
See, I don't think that's where you should be going, Jen. Your instincts that tell you to speed when the posted speed limit is 55, that's what you shouldn't be trusting. How many times do you have to be caught, pulled over, or when that little, pretty much any time you get behind the wheel of a car.
The flow of traffic.
Anytime that little light blinks at you, telling you you're low on fuel, that means you have to get fuel.
Well, it's like yesterday when we were on the conference call and my car started chirping at me and Gabe was like, Jen, put your seatbelt on.
I keep thinking about what Gabe just said about 30 seconds ago, that anytime you get into a car, and now I'm just thinking, anytime you open the door, your instinct should be to shut it right away.
The car? I have to drive places, you guys.
Yeah, Uber exists.
No, I have to drive. And I have to drive tiny people places.
Is Chase close to driving age yet?
12.
40, whatever. Who amongst us hasn't driven at 12?
Chase.
Who amongst us hasn't driven for 4 years?
Who do you think's a better driver, Chase or Jen?
Has Chase ever driven a car?
He has not.
Would it really matter?
I mean, Chase will get there to be better than Jen, which really isn't saying a whole hell of a lot.
Yeah, the standard's very low.
But I started, when did you guys say? I could drive stick at 10.
We know. Oh. We went over this yesterday. At 10.
Well, I didn't get the appropriate Barry Alvarez gushing over the fact that I could do that. I want a day named after me. Okay.
Well, apparently Columbus Day is up for grabs.
Mark Chimura Stick Day.
Where the hell's my statue? I don't even get a damn parking space.
A very good question. Gabe, you got any bad instincts?
Well, probably the stubborn one. Like when people tell me that I have to do something and my initial instinct is, oh, you think I have to do something? Guess what? You can't tell me what to do.
A lot of my instincts are like, I can hold it.
And then,
it doesn't always work out well.
And then?
So I don't trust my instincts a lot. What? You just go change your underwear. Big deal.
Gabe, so if someone told you you had to drink water, you would just not?
Oh, guess what? I don't have to. You can't tell me what to do. I don't have to do that.
First of all, I can do whatever I want.
I don't have to do anything, Ashton.
You got any bad instincts, Ash?
Let's see. I got a whole list here, but where should I begin? Geographically challenged is how I was described as a person by my father. I don't know if that's an instinct, but my instinct is I don't know where to go or how to get there. That's my instinct.
Yep.
That's not good. I'm pretty sure.
So, but here in Milwaukee, we try to help you out with that because you don't want to go east.
Why not? Oh, water.
That's See? Another thing.
Yikes. I probably shouldn't be driving you there, for being honest.
Who on this show do we trust behind the wheel of a car? Gabe.
Yeah, I'm doing with Gabe, sure.
Gabe. You know, I run
Gabe's probably a rule follower, though. 10-2, blinkers, all that garbage.
We know Gabe is a rule follower. It's the thing that we like about him the least.
I mean, blinkers, yes. Blinkers, absolutely, Chew. But yeah, no, not 10-2. Like, you don't have to do 10-2.
Are you a knee Plus driver? Do you drive with your knee?
On occasion.
Yes.
Ashton's on occasion, you got to make sure. Scare driver.
Poisoning the well one drip at a time.
Ashton's probably a scare driver of, like, I don't want to go on 94. Traffic is too fast. I'm going to take Highway 18 all the way out.
No, see, but you've driven in big cities before, haven't you, Ash? Like, you've been to Chicago. Have you ever been to New York? Have you ever driven in New York?
No, I've never been in New York. I've been to Schenectady, New York, which does not really count.
Schenectady. I've been to Shiocton, Wisconsin.
Exactly. It doesn't really count. I actually love driving, and I consider myself to be a solid driver. But at the same time, I just don't know where I'm going, which it seems problematic when you're driving.
Well, but you've got your GPS.
Phone. Oh, yeah. And it's on all the time.
The GPS?
Yeah. Me and Google Maps, tight.
Ryan and McGuanago weighing in saying there's got to be an intern around there that can be Jen's driver.
There are not.
Would you put anyone in that position? Is there anyone in this company that you don't like that you would make my driver?
Chewy.
I heard that.
800-990-3776. We will continue taking your reaction on the Bucks win yesterday. How do you feel about it? A win's a win or still yucky? Plus, Russell Wilson maybe gave Aaron Rodgers the blueprint on how to beep, beep, beep back his way out of the drama in Green Bay. We'll get into that after this.
Hey, Bucks fans, Palermo's Pizza and the Bucks have teamed up on an exclusive offer just for you. Bango's Jersey Collection. With every specially marked Palermo's Neighborhood Pizzeria you purchase, and let's be honest, I mean, you should be doing that. Bucks have another game coming up on Sunday. I may have to have another pizza on Sunday. Maybe that was the good luck charm. Maybe that's what we were waiting for. I had a pizza while watching the game last night. Of course, it was a Palermo's Pizza. Maybe I need to have another Palermo's Pizza to help bring the Bucks a win on Sunday. But if you buy the specially marked Neighborhood Pizzerias, you receive a limited edition Bango collectible figurine with Bango sporting one of five past and present Bucks jerseys. Simply buy Palermo's Neighborhood Pizzeria. It's the best one they make. Redeem your box codes online. Collect them all. Supplies are limited. Head to your local Wisconsin grocery store today. Palermo's. It's Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Gabe is already eating his feelings.
What are you talking about? I'm fine. What do you mean, Bucks lost? This doesn't bother me.
On 94.5 ESPN.
That if you're a Packers fan, there are not many ways that you want Aaron Rodgers emulating Russell Wilson. I'm guessing you think Aaron Rodgers has got it all figured out and that Russell Wilson is just trying to be like Aaron Rodgers. But Russell Wilson just gave a blueprint to how Aaron Rodgers could get out of this mess, the ashen Green Bays of our lives, if you will.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the Green Bays of our lives.
Do you want to know how he did it? Do you want to know how Russell Wilson put all the drama of the offseason behind him and is now at Seattle Seahawks minicamp? Probably not today, but he has been the last few days. And he talked to the media yesterday. Do you want to know? Do you want to know what he did?
What did he do?
He chalked it all up to unfortunate frustrations.
There's a lot of teams out there that people were saying that I was going to or would go to. I requested a trade. I did not request a trade. I've always wanted to play here. And the reality is I think calls were getting thrown around and this and that. And I think that's just a reality. But I think at the end of the day, the real reality is that I'm here and I'm here to win. I'm here to win it all.
Yeah, that's it. I'm here to win. I'm here to win it all. There were unfortunate frustrations, but...
Aren't all frustrations unfortunate?
Yes. Yes, they are. I mean, I do think, though, that Russell needs to take some responsibility for getting the Seattle Seahawks in this position because it was him and his agent who basically threw out the idea that I don't want to be traded, but if I did, here are the four teams that I would like to go to or I would go to, right? But look at him. He kind of stayed out of the fray. He stayed out of the mess. He didn't comment on it. And then here it is, minicamp rolling around, and he shows up. He steps in front of the mic, and he says, unfortunate frustrations. We want to win. I'm going to win. You know, that's why I'm here. We're good. Yeah,
but you
good.
But you can certainly see how teammates don't like him. And there was that Sports Illustrated article, what, 5-6 years ago about his former teammates expressing that, because as he was explaining why he didn't want to get traded, he also called out his offensive line and said he's frustrated by too many sacks, which is taboo in the locker room. You just don't do that. Mm-hmm. You can do it behind closed doors, but you certainly don't air it. I'm telling you, you just don't do that.
I just disagree with you on that, Chewy, because it's not like it was a big secret that Russell Wilson was sacked a lot. Like, I understand what you're saying, like, you keep it in the locker room, but if you are frustrated with that, isn't that more on the front office for not putting guys around you? I understand that it comes across like he's criticizing the guys and he's criticizing his teammates, but he was sacked too much.
No, I know, buddy. You're essentially saying, well, you're not good enough to play on this team. Get me somebody better. That's how an offensive lineman, a starting offensive lineman for Seattle last year will interpret
it. I disagree with you, Chu. And again, this is crazy that I'm disagreeing with you, the former player, but wouldn't an athlete, a competitive guy, interpret it as, I need to be better? Because Russell Wilson, our franchise quarterback, shouldn't be on his butt so often? Isn't that how a competitor would interpret that?
No. Because Brett would never yell at someone for dropping a ball. He would yell at you for dropping a ball, but diverting it to another area, which in our minds was fine.
What does that even mean?
Like if you drop a ball, he'd be like, what would Brett? I don't know. He wouldn't take it in that direction because Brett was smart enough to know there's probably a good chance in a football game that he's going to throw a pick.
Okay, he just said Brett and smart enough in the same sentence.
So if you're going to call me out for dropping a football, then I'm going to call you out for throwing an interception, a stupid interception. You just don't want to go down that path. Russell Wilson is just, I don't know, he's always, to me, I interpret him as a teammate that it's all about him. You know, you're here, offensive lineman, to make me look good.
But you also know that you can't win when your quarterback is on his butt.
Yeah, Russell Wilson, correct, the last three seasons, sacked 51 times, 48 times, and 47 times.
But this still goes to the point, yeah, the front office knows it, and if they don't know it, they should be fired, right? They don't need the quarterback. Stay in your lane. It's all about staying in your lane, you know? I mean, there's a history. Can we all at least agree there is a history with Russell Wilson and his teammates?
History of what?
Well, the history, so the story, I think it was an ESPN.com piece. I think it was Seth Wickersham wrote about the Legion of Boom era in Seattle and how a lot of the defensive players thought that Russell Wilson was treated with kid gloves and that everybody else was held to a different standard than Russell Wilson. When Russell Wilson made a mistake, Pete Carroll and the coaching staff went out of the way to make sure it was okay, to the point that there are teammates on that belonged on that team that thought the reason they threw the ball in that Super Bowl that Russell Wilson threw the interception against the Patriots from the 1 yard line is because the coaching staff and Pete Carroll wanted Russell Wilson to be the hero instead of just doing the smart thing and giving it to one of the more bruising backs of the time in Marshawn Lynch. And when you've got people in the locker room thinking that that's what's going on, that's not good.
But didn't we also have somebody on the show, and it may have been Jason, but I don't want to attribute it to him just in case it wasn't him, but I think it was Jason, saying that all quarterbacks are kind of pains in the butts? And again, he may not have used those terms, so I want to make sure I'm clear. But there was some sentiment of they're all kind of tough to deal with.
Yeah, but some are more difficult than others.
But on this specific topic, Chu, what we're saying is Russell figured out a way to back his way out of it, right? He created the drama. He stuck his finger in the holy water. It started bubbling. People were like, Russ wants out of Seattle. But here he is, mandatory minicamp, slinging the pigskin out there with his guys. Like, he figured out a way to fix it, even if it is just chalking it up to unfortunate frustrations. So is he giving Rodgers the blueprint? And is Rodgers willing to take it? Because that's the next thing. We may give him the plan and say, hey, here's how you get out of the maze, big guy. But is Rodgers willing to take the blueprint? Is he willing to follow the directions?
Yeah, because that's why the only one that can fix it most times are the quarterback. You know? I mean, the Seattle front office did everything they could to make it copacetic, but it was ultimately on Russell Wilson to bury the hatchet, just like it's on Aaron Rodgers. The only way this thing is getting fixed is if Aaron Rodgers says, okay, I'm good with everything, I will come play.
Ooh, the only way this is getting fixed is if Aaron Rodgers says, okay, I'm good with it, let's go play. Agree or disagree, Gabe?
I disagree, because the front office has to propose something that Aaron Rodgers... I mean, ultimately the decision will be Rodgers, because the front office will try to come up with solutions to get him back. And ultimately Aaron Rodgers will have to agree or disagree, but they've got to come up with some sort of plan to propose to him to begin with. Like, what better than anything that they've put together in the first month and a half of this.
Yeah, but Aaron Rodgers, like I said many and many a times, isn't Patrick Mahomes. He's on his way out, you know? So how much are you going to give him, right? I mean, how much are you going to give him? What do you want, part ownership in a team that's owned by the public?
Ooh, you could give him a couple pieces of stock, Chew?
Yeah.
invite him to the stockholders meeting, which is going to be full capacity this year.
Yeah, but they're not selling stock at the moment, because I've looked into it for a friend's wedding gift and I couldn't buy any.
Yeah, but he's Aaron Rodgers. I think they could make
an
exception.
I got a piece of stock in my husband's office that I'd be willing to sell you for a pretty penny.
We will talk off the air, because I have a great plan for this then. Go ahead.
It's not mine to sell, but actually everything in the house is mine, right? What's yours is mine. Isn't that what they say?
Can you just make a copy of it? I think that would suffice for me.
Oh, yes. Just go down to FedEx Kinko's and...
Or just a printer would be good.
Scan the thing.
Yeah, we've got a scanner here. It'll be fine.
Doesn't have to be fancy. It's just a wedding gift.
Okay. It's just a wedding gift. That reminds me. I got a wedding I'm going to this weekend, and I went out and bought a couple cards, and then Daria was like, nobody gives cards anymore. They just
Everybody
hand people
gives
cash.
Cards. That's
Do
insane.
They?
No, you've got, especially for a wedding, you've got to, because you've got to have something to put the money in.
Okay.
I was going to say,
unless it's an Italian wedding where you just put it in the hand, right? Or in the pocket.
As you hug them,
Yeah, exactly. Here's a little something for you.
Yeah, they don't care about the card. They just care about what's inside the card.
Right, exactly. Some hard just get chucked. By the way, I'm also going to a baby shower this weekend, and they asked for books in lieu of cards. So instead of bringing instead of bringing a card for the mom to be, you bring a book, you write in the book from Jen and Dario and Chase and Layla and Kira.
Best book out there. If you want to give anybody giving books to children, I want my hat back.
That's a book?
It's a book. What's it's a fantastic about? Book. It's a bear who lost his hat. I don't want to spoil the ending because I should just bring it in and see if you guys understand the ending, because the ending, I mean, it gets a little dark, maybe for
what
children.
What are you doing?
I can't wait for you to read this book.
Gabe, number one, what are you doing with children's books? You got something to tell us here?
No, I mean, upstairs, in my house, upstairs, there is a 3-year-old that lives up there. And then I have two nieces that both just recently turned 2, and books are excellent gifts anytime. And they just turned 2, birthdays the last 2 months. So books are always a great gift for
small
children.
I love that you said that. Books are excellent gifts. I subscribe to that belief as well, and everybody tells me that I am a party pooper.
No,
whenever I go to a party, I bring books, and people are like, cool, great. How are the kids going to play with the books, Jen?
No, you got to read kids' books, man.
What do you think, Ash? Are books great gifts?
I like books. I ask for books there all the time.
Who reads? No one reads.
Books.
No one reads. The only people read on plane is
people who can't read.
Chewy.
I'm putting it on the poll. Are books great
look
gifts?
How
yes or no?
Look how smart I am. I can read.
Oh,
it's not really
that's how
hard
I feel about
read.
Coffee table books. When I walk into your house and you got a stack of books, I'm like, cool, interior design.
You can't
what is that
say
with
that.
Motorcycles?
If you're the
great.
Person that brings the books, you can't criticize coffee table books, I don't think.
Yeah, does that feel like conflict
of
interest?
Yeah, a
little bit.
I'm a very complicated person, guys. Hey, one of my favorite books that I'm reading to my kids right now is called The Pout Pout Fish. Maybe you'd see some pout
with
pout,
the pout
fishes.
Pout face?
With the pout pout face. Yes, I like the pout pout fish. Maybe you'll see some pout pout fishes if you get out on a carefree boat with Carefree Boat Club. They are here to help you create lasting memories of fun in the water for the whole family this summer. I'm a member of Carefree Boat Club. We were actually members when we were in Connecticut as well. Best money you can spend. And here's why. They have locations in Lake Geneva, Milwaukee, and Chicago, and 100 other spots around the country. Here's the great thing about Carefree Boat Club, guys, okay? You join, you're a member. You go online, you pick out your boat, you pick out your time. Then You just show up. They provide the boat. They put it in the water. They make sure it's full of gas. And when you get back, they clean the boat and do everything else for you. So all you do is get on, have some fun, and get off. Carefree boats make getting on the water affordable. If you're interested in joining the club, call 262-42-BOATS. That's 262-42-BOATS, or go to carefreeboats.com. Carefreeboats.com, the best way to spend your summer on the water.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What about FDR?
His
he
name
was a president.
Fred? Was he really?
His name was Franklin.
That's not Fred.
That's not
what,
Fred.
What the hell, Gabe, are you playing
about?
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing?
On 94.5 ESPN.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right.
On top.
It's tricky. It's tricky. Here we go.
We have hot and cold coming up shortly here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We have several polls on our ESPN Milwaukee Twitter account. Chewy says the only way this thing is getting fixed is if Aaron Rodgers says, okay, I'm good with everything. Let's go play. Do you agree or disagree with Chewy? Go ahead and weigh in on that. We just put it on the ESPN Milwaukee poll. We also have in this series versus the Nets, Giannis is A, doing too much, B, not doing enough. Gabe, what do you think? Not doing enough or doing too much?
I think he's doing too much. I think he's doing too much. And it's such a tricky question because I think he needs to do more of the things that I liked him doing, but I mean, 31 shots last night. He came out aggressive. I like that he came out aggressive. And then he just seemed to get more passive as each quarter came along. Eight threes is way too many threes. He needs to continue to be aggressive. And they need to continue to use him as the slasher, as the roll man in screen and roll games. They need to get him those touches in the paint instead of him coming down and chucking eight threes. Eight threes, that's doing too much. What
yeah,
do you
I
think,
like what Mark I like what Mark Jackson said last night during the telecast, in which he said, shoot the shots that you're good at shooting, right? Giannis, you've never been good at shooting threes, okay? So don't shoot them, right? Certainly after you miss six in a row, don't keep shooting. I agree with Gabe. I think he's trying to do too much, and I think a lot of it is overthinking things, like at the free throw line, and don't always trust your instincts because they're not always correct.
Like Jen dating that guy who would clean his house at 4 a.m.
Or Chewy giving his boat to some random stranger and not being able to find it at the beginning of the summer.
Or Ashton driving around without GPS.
So true. Actually, but I disagree with both of you, with you, Chewy and Gabe. I actually think he's not doing enough. Maybe for the same exact reason. I'm just viewing it differently. Like, just get your ass in the lane and go. That's all. That's all I want him to see. It's be in the lane and do anything. I don't even care if it's the follow away shots. I don't like those, but I'd rather see him shooting that than pull up for a three with 22 seconds left on the shot clock. Like, that's why I say I don't think he's doing enough. And maybe that's because he's not doing enough of what I think he should be doing, but I want to see him do more. I want him taking 30 plus shots a game. I'm okay with that. If he only hits 12 of them, fine. At least he was trying. Like, ride the horse. Back to the horse thing. Ride the horse that got you there.
You don't know anything about riding horses.
Yeah, you can't make a horse reference if you haven't ridden a horse.
Hands down.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I have no comments.
No, I think the route they go, the only chance they have at winning this thing is just chippy. Is that the right word? They got
to
play a little chippy. They got to get
chips?
A little PJ Tucker.
Not enough chips
no.
in the diet?
A little salsa and chips? Are we talking like
guac and chips?
They got to be
French onion
a
dip?
Little bit of a bully, you know?
You want with PJ, you want PJ
yes,
Tucker on.
I like that.
The nasty.
Like
you're
it.
Not concerned about
the
PJ
nasty.
Tucker being an offensive liability? Because I understand he's out there for his defense, but it does sometimes feel like they're playing with four guys.
But, I mean, who else are you going to put out there that's not going to be an offensive liability? Like, you could put Bobby Portis out there, but then you are really sacrificing things defensively. Like, PJ was 0-4 last night. He missed his three threes, but I know he can hit that corner three. And if they start moving the ball the way they're capable of, PJ is going to get open looks at three, which I'm comfortable with him shooting.
You know what? No one has brought up this point. Are we underestimating the importance of DiVincenzo?
Well,
I honestly don't
know.
To
be fair, I did bring that up several days ago. You just weren't listening.
To answer that question, I don't know, because Dante does this thing where he has like roller coaster syndrome for me. He has either really good stretches where he's really good on offense and like so-so on defense or vice versa, or he's just not great or he's really good. Like, I can't figure Dante out, whereas I don't know if they miss him enough to where it's making that much of a difference. Like, for depth purposes, sure. Would I rather see him in there than Pat Connaughton literally ever? Yeah. But I don't know if PJ Tucker starting is making that much of a difference. Because PJ Tucker was still going to get those minutes, regardless.
I think it is.
You think Tucker got in Durant's head?
I think Durant is as
soft as soft gets, right? Like, I've used other words to describe him, but I'll just stick with soft right now on the air.
But he's also a killer.
He's really, really good at basketball, yeah. But it feels like he is a mental midget. Like, you're going to go at Jay Williams for telling a story that's probably true about being compared to Giannis. Look, everybody would understand if you found it insulting to be compared to Giannis. We get it. You guys are different players. And he obviously thinks that he is extremely, way better. So I understand that. But, like, even the jawing with PJ Tucker last night, like, he just comes across as so soft mentally.
But at the same time, I don't think that translates to, like, actually affecting his game because... I mean, he hit a big three that put them up with just over a minute left, and everybody knew where the ball was going. And when that ball was in the air, like, I couldn't breathe. Like, everybody was holding their breath because they thought it could go in. I mean, it was a desperation shot. It's, you know, clean of a look as I think you can get in that situation. But I don't see being able to get into Kevin Durant's head, like, really affecting the game long term.
I don't know, Gabe. I mean, Draymond Green is a pain in the you-know-what. But his role is effective just because he's annoying and he's a nag and he picks at you. You're not going to get in, you're not going to throw him off every single time. But certainly it's I don't know.
But just enough,
really,
maybe
effective.
Just enough to affect the shooting percentage. Just enough where, you know, when Kevin Durant lifts and elevates above the crowd, there's a slight chance it's not going in, instead of previously where I was like, that's in. Don't even need to see the follow through. Don't even need to see the rest of it. That's a bucket.
My only counter to that is we saw PJ try to do that in games 1 and 2. And everything that he did in game 3 that worked, it didn't work at all in games 1 and 2. And really, it didn't work all that much in game 3. It just worked enough to where you're like, okay, I think there's something there. So I don't know how much he's actually affecting KD. Like, Kyrie was bad yesterday too, but no one seems to care.
No, I know. The guards were horrible, which is why we thought it might have been mildly effective with PJ
Tucker. For what it's worth, Chu, the poll on ESPN Twitter right now, in this series versus the Nets, Giannis is doing too much, not enough, is dead even 50-50. 50-50. Okay. So I wonder if people are kind of interpreting it like Ashton is, which is saying that he is not doing enough, especially of what he wants him to do, or like you and Gabe are, which is saying he's doing too much. Stop taking threes. Go to the hole. That's your game. That's where you're good. That's where you benefit this team the most.
Yeah. This game is drive to the hoop, Jen, and play defense. That's it. That's all you need to do, right? And make 50% of your foul shots. Happy with that.
Go ahead
I'll
and
take
50% of the foul shots. Yeah, we haven't even gotten to that yet. Things that you are bad at, as bad as Giannis is at free throws. You know, I know people who are as bad at parallel parking as Giannis is at hitting free throws.
You know people, or are you speaking from
not me?
Experience?
I am very, very good at parking.
See, here's the problem, Jen. I can't believe that you're very, very good at anything when you're behind the wheel.
Exceptional at parallel parking, you guys.
In the correct spot, or just like in the street?
Yeah, in the correct spot.
You're just parking like, all right, I'm parallel.
That
to
doesn't
cars.
Count as Gabe. Parallel parking. It doesn't count Gabe. If you just park anywhere.
True.
Why do you and Ashton wear pants?
What?
I'm sorry, what?
I have no...
I mean, because if I didn't wear pants, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't let me come into the building every day.
What?
No, but, I mean, you guys never wear shorts. I have not worn a pair of pants probably for at least 2 months now, and I will not wear a pair of pants probably for another 5 months.
True, I have literally worn shorts.
You guys wear pants to work probably the days I see you... At least 4 out of 5 times you're wearing pants.
I literally wore shorts every day this week into work.
No, you
literally every day.
I had shorts on yesterday, and Chewy, I believe I had shorts on Monday, and you said, I never see you wearing shorts. Now I guess I know why.
More importantly, we just figured out that Chewy is as bad at questioning as Giannis is at free throws. Because if you were wondering why Gabe doesn't wear shorts, why didn't you just say, Gabe, why don't you wear shorts instead of what you chose, which was,
why do you wear pants?
Tomato, tomato.
Get off my back. Hey, guys, Great Midwest Bank puts its focus on the needs of customers in the community and not its shareholders. What does that mean for you? It means you've got more flexibility and they've got more flexibility in the loan options that they can offer you. Great Midwest Bank, lending decisions are made locally, right where you live, by loan officers that have been your neighbors and your community members for decades. Like, a lot of decades. Great Midwest Bank services mortgages locally to provide the most flexibility and value to its customers. It is why when we moved back to Milwaukee 2 years ago, and it is 2 years ago as of this month, we chose Great Midwest Bank to help us with our mortgage and our construction loan. If you're interested in joining the Great Midwest Bank family, here's how you do it. Go to their website, greatmidwestbank.com. There you can learn more about how to do a home refinance loan or whatever your financial needs are right now. Great Midwest Bank offers Banquility, which means you won't stress throughout the process. Again, that website, greatmidwestbank.com, greatmidwestbank.com. They're yours and my Simply Local Equal Housing Lender.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Can you say this? Can you still say kick at the cat?
What the hell does that mean?
You never heard that term? One more kick at
the cat? Show of hands, who's heard?
You guys never
heard. Kick of the cat.
All right, Google it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
So put your best face on, everybody pretend you know this song. Everybody come hang. Let's go out with the bang.
It is that time. We got some hot and cold.
It's time to take the temperature on the news of the week.
He's got more grease than a thermometer.
Who's hot?
Boy, this was the best day ever.
And who's cold?
I hate so much about the things that you choose to be.
On Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Who's hot? Who's cold? Is presented by Midwest Heating and Cooling. Delivering trusted HVAC services to homeowners and businesses in southeastern Wisconsin. Midwest Heating and Cooling. When it comes to comfort, you deserve the best. Choose Midwest.
Okay, I'll start it off with a positive, and that positive is the college football playoff system considering moving to 12 teams. I think it's good. I have Alabama and Clemson fatigue. I want to see some other college as national championship. The only thing I don't understand, and don't make fun of me, how are they going to get to a national champion with 12 teams?
Same way the NFL got to a Super Bowl champion with 12 teams in the postseason?
How do you do it? 12 goes to 6, 6 goes to 3.
So how did you do it in the NFL, Chew? When you played,
I don't know,
and there were 6 teams on each side, what happened?
So they're going to give a team a bye.
Bye, bye, bye. I literally was doing the in-sync bye, bye, bye over here.
I was
doing it across my body. You know, I don't know the whole dance, but there's parts of it I could do.
Now that part of it I don't like. I don't like.
Do you not like that Notre Dame doesn't get a bye because they don't have a conference, which means they can't get the conference championship bye, so they have to play?
Good. Notre Dame sucks.
Because that was a big talking point yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like the bye system, so they need to tweak it a little more to appease me. So there you go.
Makes sense.
I've got a cold. I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but the Brewers fan in Cincinnati that was trying to get a foul ball and then chirped at the guy who ended up catching said foul ball for the next, I don't know, 2 to 3 minutes. But an older gentleman thought he had a beat on a pop-up foul ball. And there weren't a ton of people at the game yesterday in Cincinnati. Chance of rain. It's a 12:35 start locally in Cincinnati. And a Reds fan came back several rows and ended up getting the foul ball. And this guy was very, very upset that this guy came into his territory. Look, you're both grown men. Like, you should not be upset at anybody. And, like, a kid ended up giving this guy a foul ball. Like, how is this?
Wow.
How?
Order of operations?
I'm very confused.
Circle of life?
How
what
the
is
kid
that?
Gave the older gentleman a foul ball. It was a bad look. They had fun with it during the broadcast, Singleton and Matt LaPay on the television side. But I was very, very confused.
I got a cold for you. Yesterday after the Bucks win 86-83, the Bucks social media department put out a picture of Chris Middleton knocking down those free throws. Makes one of two. Makes two of two. There's 2.1 seconds left on the clock. It is a three-point game. And if you zoom in just above the corner of the backboard, I can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people leaving the arena. What are you doing? It's a three-point game. It's a one-possession game. There's 2 seconds left on the clock. Do you not understand how sports work? What, you got to get the babysitter off the clock? which is a valid excuse if we're being honest, because babysitter rates right now are through the roof. But still, just hang out for the last 2.1 seconds of the game, please. Could you just do that next time, please? Thank you.
All right, I got one more cold, and I still have not gotten a sufficient answer. Gabe and Ashton, I still don't understand when it's 90 degrees, you're still wearing dungarees. It blows my mind.
First of all, Wranglers. Second of all, I've been wearing shorts all week.
I don't know how he knows I'm wearing pants today. I don't like it. Somebody else go.
Did he call you Ashton?
Tell me why.
Are we just Ashton?
Why?
Whatever. It's just Ashton. Why? I don't know because... shut up,
why?
Man. I don't know.
I've got a hot... How about Chris Middleton? If there's a more underappreciated player by his fan base in the NBA, somebody needs to point him towards me. Because Chris Middleton did so many things for the Bucks yesterday. He was the one taking some big shots in the... he was taking the big shots, making the big shots. Chris Middleton, super underappreciated. Great game last night.
At home. Do it on the road.
He did it on the road in Miami.
Miami sucks.
What? Okay. You know what? I'm moving on. Stephen A. Smith, love him. Think he's a supremely talented guy, but last night he was just trying to poke the bear, man. He said, I don't know why the hell Bucks fans are celebrating. This was after the
Drew Holiday bucket.
Yes, 11 seconds left on the clock. There are 11.4 seconds left after that last basket by Drew Holiday. There's KD needing a basket, not a three. Good luck. Are we not allowed to cheer? We're not allowed to cheer for a bucket? We're not allowed to cheer for a late basket? Nobody was cheering that they won the game, Stephen A. Like, calm down.
They took the lead.
Attack the entire fan base for cheering for a late basket?
I'm sorry. Gave them the lead.
Are there certain ways you cheer that are just for buckets? And there are other ways you cheer where you assume the victory is imminent? No, they were cheering. They were cones.
They were cones.
It's time.
Oh, the final hot of the week. It's a Friday. Big game tonight. Big game tonight. You got Fernando Tatis Jr. going up against Jacob DeGrom. Ooh. Padres Mets. Oh, it's going to be a fun one.
Let's go. Free game on MLB TV.
So much fun. Yes. It is the free game, MLB.TV. You should check it out because it's going to be fun. Baseball should be fun. The Padres are fun. That's why we like the Padres.
Checking in on our polls, how you feeling after Bucks Game 3 win? 62% of people saying a win is a win, and they will certainly try to get another one this weekend. 37% of people saying, nah, still feeling yucky. 86% of people do not think Ashton has ever been on a horse. 86% of people would be correct. In this series versus the Nets, Giannis is doing too much, 51%, not doing enough, 49%. That is incredibly close. And lastly, Chewy saying the only way this thing is going to get fixed is if Aaron Rodgers says, okay, I'm good with everything. Let's go play. 72% of people agree with Chewy. Thanks for hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this week. Wildy and Tausch is next, live from AmFam Championship. That's a golf thing, right, Gabe?
Yes.
Good to know. Thought maybe it was some title game being played at AmFam Field. What do I know about golf? Have a great weekend. We'll be back with you guys on Monday.